In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On Sunday mornings, just after we have the confession and absolution at the beginning of our service, the next thing we cry out is that ancient cry, Kyrie, or in English, Lord, have mercy. We did it this morning. We do it pretty much every week. We've just received mercy, of course, in the absolution. So you might ask and wonder, well, why do we need more? Because to cry Kyrie is a command. It is the exercise of your faith. It is to stand up from your humble kneeling position before God and to take your place as His beloved child, bringing those large petitions to Him that our hymn just talked about. Those large petitions, those things that we need mercy for. And of course, we kneel in repentance at the beginning of the service, whether you do so physically or you simply do it in spirit. We come humbly before our God, and having received His mercy in the absolution, we then stand in faith, and we demand more of His mercy and His grace. So we cry out, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. Why? Because our lives are built on, they are lived in, and they are thrust forward only when we stand in His mercy, only when we have His mercy driving and impelling us. That's what our lives are all about. They are built on, they are surrounded by His mercy. And so, in order to advance the church, in order to bring people to faith, in order to grow ourselves in God's grace and mercy, you and I have to realize that we must repent of our sins. And so our service models that for us. We start by repenting of our sins. But then we have to live as though we are actually forgiven. We have to live as though all depends in our lives on His mercy and His mercy alone. And so to be His faithful people in this world, we must come alongside other people with that same attitude. That attitude that we are not high and mighty because we are Christians, the way that the Jews of old often did. That attitude that we are humble. We are common people with the same failings and hurts that are common to all mankind. But the one thing that distinguishes the Christian in that humble attitude and in that recognizing that reality that we're the same as everybody else, the one thing that's uncommon about us is that we admit our need. We don't cover up. We don't hide. We don't pretend that our faults don't exist. Well, in reality, as sinners, we do that, don't we? But as Christians, that is to be our goal. That is how we are to live, to not cover those things up, to not hide them, not pretend that they don't exist. Instead, we are to go to God. We are to demand His mercy for those sins of ours. We are to cry out, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. And we're to bring other people to Him in prayer by shouting that same Kyrie eleison for them. We demand God's mercy for them. And it seems presumptuous, doesn't it? And yet, that is faith. Faith in what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, stands on it. It cries out to Him. It demands what He Himself says He has done and what He Himself promises to give you. Faith in His promise to you through His cross. Faith in His character, which is revealed at the cross. And it would be presumptuous for us to demand mercy of Him if He'd not already had mercy on us, if He'd not already promised to have mercy when you and I come to Him. And that's what that foreign woman in today's gospel reading, that non-Jew, that someone who's considered a dog by Jews, that's what she did to our Lord. In faith, she commanded Him to have mercy. She cried out, Kyrie eleison. And the disciples responded like this. They said, stop her, Lord. She's crying out. She's screaming after us. And in fact, in Greek, the word that they use there is klotse, which is where you and I get the word crazy from. Lord, she's crazying after us. You can imagine what kind of behavior she was exhibiting then. Lord, stop her. She's making a commotion. She's making a scene. It's embarrassing. And besides, we're in enemy territory. We're amongst the dogs, the foreigners, the people that you haven't called and saved. And so it's treacherous for us to have someone like her drawing attention to us here in this place. And yet she commanded mercy from the Lord of heaven and earth, from the Savior of humanity, because she'd heard about him and she believed in him. And her faith told her that he can help me. He can help my daughter. So she went for it. And when she went for it, what did he do? He rebuffed her. He turns away from her. I've come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Seems strange. Doesn't seem like that kind, gentle Jesus that we're always taught about in Sunday school, right? He rebuffs her. And she comes right to his feet and falls at his feet and says, help me, Lord. And he says, it's not right to take the children's food and to throw it to dogs. And she responds, but even we Gentile dogs can get fed by the crumbs that fall from the Jewish God's table. That's all I need, Lord, just the crumbs. Your mercy is so all-sufficient that your crumbs will supply everything I need. Kyrie, have mercy on me. And he did. He had mercy on her. Now, it seems to us, though, it seems mean that he would rebuff her, that he would ignore her like that, that he would call her a dog. Why did he do it? Because he knew that she had faith that trusted in him. And he wanted his own self-righteous disciples to see her faith. He wanted them to accept her into the fold, despite the fact that she was a dog in their eyes. And though he, of course, came first and foremost to seek and to save the lost of his own nation, he was later going to send those 12 disciples out to the nations with the crumbs that fell from his table. You remember the feeding of the 5,000? Remember how two small fish and five small loaves of bread fed more than 5,000 people? 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children who were there. More than 5,000 people. And do you remember how many crumbs were left over? And the word there in the Greek is crumbs is actually like large chunks of bread. There were 12 baskets full of food that could still be eaten left over from those five small loaves and two little fish. More than enough for any and all. This is what Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's getting them out of their silly way of thinking, their sinful way of thinking. He's causing them to repent and to turn from their way. And shouting Kyrie then is a way of life for Christians. That's what this woman shows us and teaches us. It's the foundation of life for us as Christians. And trusting our Lord's mercy is always a sure thing. But that Kyrie way also recognizes that God is God. It recognizes that he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy on them. He will have mercy on them in the way that he sees fit. And it's not going to be the same for everybody, is it? One person might get some kind of a miraculous healing, and another person might never see any miraculous, exciting kinds of things like that. God deals with us each according to his wisdom for us, because he knows what you and I need. He's the one who fashions the crosses that he gives us to bear. He is the one who supports us and sees us through that valley of the shadow of death that we're walking in and through right now. And so remember, though, too, that God has hidden himself from our eyes. Remember that he is a hidden God. He's an unknowable God, except for where he revealed himself in the flesh of his Son. Why would he hide himself and only reveal himself in one place? It's because what he wants us to know about him is what we can find out in that one place. He caused himself to be lifted up on a cross so that he can have mercy on the world. The lost of his own nation, he wanted them there. He wanted those lost people. And yet what's funny is that at the cross, it was those very lost ones that he came for. They were the ones who handed him over to the Roman authorities to put him on the cross. And it was the lost ones of the rest of the world, the Roman authorities, the Gentiles, who nailed him to that cross and lifted him up for all to see. And it was done not in the city, not in the midst of the people. It was done on a lonely, barren hillside outside the city, which is where in the Old Testament they always sent the scapegoats every year. The goats that they placed all the sins of all the people on each year, they'd send them out into the wilderness. And so Jesus was hung up for all to see like a scapegoat outside the city. He was hung up there where in the barren places where the demons and the vultures and the things that live off the dead abide. He was there sent to conquer death so that he might have mercy on we who live in death's shadow. And wonder of wonders, he gives out that mercy to those who stand in faith and demand it of him. But what is his mercy? Well, first and foremost, it's the forgiveness of our sinful thoughts and actions. And it's the perfect righteousness that covers up our lack of perfect thoughts and actions. In other words, his mercy is eternal salvation for you and I. Life with his Father. The right to come to your parent and demand of your parent mercy. For in all, of course, but the most desperate cases, even you and me, when we think of parents, even we who are wicked and live in this wicked, sinful world, when our wayward children come to us, come to the parent who bore them, asking for mercy, doesn't the tender heart of that parent break in their midst, despite in their heart? Doesn't it break despite what that child might have done? And their eyes well up with tears that seem to wash away the sins of that child against the parent, and love that covers over their wrong and reconciles that wayward child to that parent and flows forth from them. Not because the child deserves it, but because the parent loves that child. And how much more so with God, your Father, who loves you, and has already paid the cost in advance to reconcile you to himself and cover over your sins. And so the Kyrie way is always a sure thing. It's the cry of a child to your loving Father, not because you deserve it or you have earned it, but because your Father loves you. And remember, of course, that parents so often know better than their children because they've been there before. They've lived through these things. And so they often have the wisdom of hindsight. And knowing better than their children, they don't always give their children the mercy that their children want. But to the best of their ability, they give the mercy that their child needs. And how much more so with our Father who loves us. He knows what we need and he well provides it for us even before you and I cry out to him. He loves us. He delights in our coming to him. And so we cry out to him in faith, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. And he will. Because the Kyrie way is always a sure thing. In Jesus' name, amen.